From Iowa Public Radio News, this is The Exchange. I'm Alex Hoyer. Today's show is about Title IX, the law passed about 40 years ago that opened the door for increased participation for young women in high school and college sports. In the first half of the show, we'll take a look at an emerging college sport in sand volleyball. I'll also talk to Donna Lopiano, a pioneer and champion of Title IX, who will be speaking in Davenport tomorrow. During the second half of the show, I'm joined by Callie Sanders from Iowa State University and Craig Enan from the Iowa Girls High School Athletic Union. We'll talk about opportunities for women in high school and college sports in Iowa. That's all coming up on The Exchange right after this news from NPR. This is The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. Sitting in for Ben Kiefer, I'm Alex Hoyer. Today's show is about Title IX and opportunities for women in high school and college sports. In a moment, I'll be joined by Donna Lopiano, a pioneer of Title IX who will be speaking in Davenport tomorrow. But first, a look at a new college sport. In about a year and a half, some college athletic programs could begin recruiting student athletes to play sand volleyball, or beach volleyball as it's known in the Olympics. The NCAA considers sand volleyball as an emerging sport to try to give young women more opportunity under Title IX, but don't count on any of Iowa's four Division I schools adding the sport anytime soon. At an early morning practice at Carver Hawkeye Arena, University of Iowa volleyball players are in black and gold Nike t-shirts and white knee pads. They're working on keeping the ball alive as coaches spike it. Indoor volleyball practice is limited now because it's a fall sport, but if some people get their way, practice would be in full swing for the new spring sport of sand volleyball, a game popularized by back-to-back American gold medals in the Olympics.
Long, down the line, Misty's got it, Carey! She's got it! Misty May and Carey Walsh repeat as gold medal champions.
The University of Iowa has no plans to add sand volleyball, and head volleyball coach Sharon Dingman says that's the way it should be.
It will take away from a great sport that we have right now, which is indoor volleyball. And, you know, we've seen attendance increase across the country in our sport of indoor volleyball, not just attendance but participation, now starting at the lowest levels of, you know, which would be the elementary school levels.
Dingman's sentiments are shared in some form by officials at Iowa State University, the University of Northern Iowa, and Drake University. In general, the debate is dividing cold and warm weather schools, and tight university budgets don't make it an attractive time to add a new sport. But the most controversial issue revolves around Title IX. That's the law passed about 40 years ago that opened the door to increased participation for female student athletes. Kathy DeBoer is the executive director of the American Volleyball Coaches Association. She supports adding the sport.
The addition of sand volleyball, which is what the NCAA calls beach volleyball, to the collegiate sports lineup would lead to a significant increase in opportunities for people to play the game of volleyball.
Supporters and opponents agree indoor volleyball and sand volleyball are very different sports. For starters, the indoor game has six people on a team, while the sand game has two. Under current proposals, though, five varsity sand teams from each school would compete at each meet. But Jane Meyer, who's the Senior Associate Athletics Director at the University of Iowa, says creating sand volleyball wouldn't create more opportunity, just another chance for competition.
The question is, are these truly new opportunities for different bodies, or are they the same bodies that we're going to count twice? And I think that's where we're going. So to me, it's not necessarily a new opportunity.
Meyer says the student athletes most likely to play sand volleyball would be the indoor athletes. And while Kathy DeBoer says that's true to some extent, most college sports have drawn players from other sports.
A lot of sports that have been added over the years have been derivative sports. I mean, water polo, for instance, when it was added to the NCAA Emerging Sports list, which is about 15 years ago, the place where people went to find water polo players was at the swimming pool.
DeBoer says that's also true of recruiting tall players from the basketball team to play indoor volleyball and softball players to throw the javelin. Back at Carver Hawkeye Arena, Paige Stevens, who's a setter at the University of Iowa, says she likes the idea of having sand volleyball, But for her and other UI players, it's just not for them.
I think it would be tough to choose to do both. I like being on the court and then having that in the summer to, like, help train and just for fun. I don't know that... I mean, it would be a plus for sure, but I don't think that I would want to do both.
So far, the University of Southern California is the only school to commit to sand volleyball. For it to become a championship sport, 40 Division I and II schools would need to add it within the next 10 years. This is The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Alex Hoyer. Today we're talking about Title IX, a nearly 40-year-old federal law that prohibits gender discrimination under any education program or activity that receives federal funding. It's allowed greater access to educational opportunities, but today we're focusing on the opportunities it provides to high school and college female student athletes. Joining me now is Donna Lopiano. She's a pioneer and champion of Title IX. Currently, she's the president of a consulting firm specializing in integrity issues in college sports. She's the former CEO of Women's Sports Foundation and a former athletic director at the University of Texas. She'll be speaking in Davenport tomorrow. Her presentation is titled Women, Sports, Life, Business, Lessons from the Playing Field. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Alex.
Just a moment ago, we heard a story about the pros and cons of adding sand volleyball as an NCAA championship sport. Among other things, supporters say adding it would give greater access to women, but opponents say it wouldn't add that much opportunity and it would be expensive. What do you think about the idea of adding sand volleyball?
I think the idea of adding any women's sport is good, especially since most schools are out of compliance with Title IX and they need to increase opportunities for women to play. I think sand volleyball has run into a double-edged sword. One, we're in the middle of a bad economy and schools are trying to cut back rather than increase expenses. And second, a long-time lack of commitment to meeting the requirements of Title IX and not wanting to expand women's sports anymore. So it's unfortunate that this should affect the sport, but that's the reality of it.
So you would say that Title IX is not being followed enough?
Absolutely. I'll bet at least 80% of all institutions of higher education are out of compliance with the law, even some 40 years after it was passed. And primarily, it's because schools have expanded their programs, but the cost of men's athletics, especially the major sports of football and men's basketball, are just going sky high. And this arms race is eating up all the money that could be spent on increasing opportunities for women and men's minor sports. Right now, men's football, men's basketball is eating up 79% of the men's athletic budgets at all Division I institutions. And those are the institutions that are dropping sports, not Division II, not Division III, but the richest athletic programs in the country.
Now, I would assume that football and men's basketball bring in the most amount of revenue in terms of ticket sales. So wouldn't it make sense that the greatest amount of resources are put into those two sports or not so much?
Bringing in revenue and bringing in and not bringing in as much as you spend, you know, being in a huge deficit are two different stories. It is absolutely true that men's basketball and football generates money, but they are overspending their budgets. The average loss, the average deficit among Division I institutions is over $10 million. There are only 16 universities in the country that make enough money from all sources to foot the bill for their entire athletic program.
So is it more of a problem recently, or has this always been a problem? Or if not always a problem, is it more of a problem now?
The problem has accelerated. There's no question that this arms race has been growing over time. There's an not only an unwillingness, but college presidents who can really put limits on expenditures are unwilling to do so. And they're unwilling to ask Congress to go for an antitrust exemption so they can put caps on salaries, which is coaches' salaries, which are the greatest expenses. Doing something like taking football scholarships from 85 to 65 would immediately give you enough money to comply with Title IX and to keep all your current men's sports. But no one's taking that step. Why? Because the football pressure is too great on college presidents. The football coaches are more powerful than college presidents.
Mm. And where do you draw the line between student-athletes in them being an athlete but also being a student, which assumably is the purpose to go to college, is to get an education?
Well, the NCAA should be commended for the strong stand they're taking now. Not only are they keeping track of graduation rates by school and publicly publishing them, but they're also keeping track of normal academic progress of student athletes. And that record of normal academic progress is traveling with the coach as he moves from school to school. And that's, you know, the first couple of cohorts that have been, you know, publicly exposed are only happening now. This has been a 4 or 5 year process for a full class to go through, and now normal progress is, you know, hitting the fan. So I think you're going to see some increases in college integrity, because one thing institutions of higher education cannot tolerate is public embarrassment. This cuts at the heart of the integrity of our university system, and they can't afford to let athletics bring them down.
Mm.
So I'm not as worried about the academic piece of this as I am about the financial piece of it.
Mm-hmm. There are those out there that argue that Title IX, in giving more opportunity to women, actually takes away from the opportunities that men would have, not necessarily in football or basketball, but possibly some of the other sports.
They need to go back to school and do their math, because women are still only 42% of the athletic population at the college level. They're 56% of the student body. At the high school level, men are still getting 1.3 million more chances to play. So the numbers of men who are playing today, both at the high school level and the college level, are far in excess of the number of men who were playing when Title IX passed. So what you really have is opportunities for men continuing to grow, and they are growing at a faster rate than they are growing for women over the last 5 years. And women have gradually closed the gap, and now the gap is actually widening, because all the progress has stopped in women's sports, and men's sports are still continuing to grow. The only division that is dropping men's sports is Division 1A. And those Division 1 schools, as I say, are dropping it not because of expenditures on women, but they're taking money away from men's minor sports, women's sports, to fuel men's basketball and men's football.
My guest is Donna Lopiano, the president of the consulting firm Sports Management Resources and the former CEO of the Women's Sports Foundation. You're listening to The Exchange on Iowa Public Radio. We'll be back after this brief break.
Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Anything you can be, I can be.
We're back with The Exchange on Iowa Public Radio. On the second half of the show, I'll be joined by a representative from the athletics department at Iowa State University. Also, someone from the Iowa Girls High School Athletic Union talking about opportunities for women in high school and college sports. But my guest now is Donna Lopiano, a pioneer and champion of Title IX. She'll be speaking in Davenport tomorrow. Before the break, we were talking about how you think that Title IX is not working. Is there any difference in how it's working in high schools versus colleges?
Well, let me clarify. Title IX is working. Opportunities for women have really increased over the last 37 years. My point is that schools are not in full compliance with Title IX. Women still do not get equal opportunity, both in terms of participation opportunities, scholarships, the amount of money that's spent on women's sports, the quality of coaches they're provided with. And that's a big distinction. No one can argue that there hasn't been tremendous progress in women's sports. With regard to your question of is there a different situation in high school and college, yes. Colleges, especially in Division I, traditionally have put more, you know, many more resources into athletics than high schools do, mainly because of the donations of individuals who have affinities to colleges and universities. You know, development programs are much more sophisticated at the college level. The high school level, where you have really small budgets, and you have so many more schools, you know, there are only 2,000 colleges and universities in the United States. There are over 25,000 high schools. At the high school level, there is a lot of financial pressure, and they don't have as many resources to confront the capital expenditure problems of equity. Building a new gym, building new fields in a tight economic climate is very difficult. And the reason, another reason why that progress has been slower, even though the gap is closing, is that because unlike colleges, there is no public information available as to where schools are in terms of compliance. In colleges, the Equity and Athletics Disclosure Act requires schools to report every year on how much you're spending on women, how many opportunities are being given to men and women. And you can go online, and you could find that information for any college or university in the country. That is not true at the high school level. In fact, a bill to require the same thing for the high school level is now before Congress.
So how do we improve compliance, especially among high schools where the transparency isn't always there?
Well, I think increasing transparency is the first step, because then that puts public pressure on the high school to confront an issue. There is no question that school districts have to step up to the plate in terms of financial resources.
Many people would say in a tough economy that when you have the option of improving education in the classroom versus the opportunities for sports, if they're women or men, that you really need to choose education. How do you bridge the gap between those two things when they're both competing for money?
Well, education is should be seen in its broadest sense. And you cannot refute what the research says about kids who participate in interscholastic athletic programs. They do better in school. They're more likely to graduate. They're more likely to matriculate in college. These extracurricular activities are really, you know, tremendous assets to the education of a young person. So the line should not be an either-or line in terms of the curriculum in the classroom or extracurricular activities like sport, like drama, like music. All of these incorporate the holistic education of a child, and none of them should be discarded.
More specifically, how is the bad economy affecting opportunity for women?
Well, when schools see themselves not being able to afford expansion, they don't add opportunities, and they also cut existing opportunities either by dropping a team or by lowering a budget.
Can you think of a concrete example, maybe someplace in the country, either at a high school or a college, where the compliance of Title IX is very poor?
Absolutely. All you have to do is Google Title IX lawsuit, and you'll get plenty of examples of schools and colleges who have gone to court, have been taken to court for noncompliance with Title IX. Some of those schools have been told to come into immediate compliance and have to, you know, find the money to do that, and others have been also levied penalties because of coaches' salaries that weren't paid fairly or similar kinds of circumstances. So plenty of examples there.
Previously, you had mentioned that there's a law before Congress that would improve the transparency among high school athletics. Where is that right now in Congress, and what are its chances of actually passing?
I believe it is still in the sponsorship stage, where everyone's signing on in Congress to be a co-sponsor of that law. I think the chances are pretty good in this Congress that it'll pass. Transparency is a good word. It's an important word, and it has made a tremendous difference at the college level. I mean, every parent wants to know that a son and daughter is being treated equally by public education, and that's what laws like this are all about.
You'll be presenting in Davenport tomorrow. What do you plan to talk about? What do you hope to accomplish?
Well, I'm not really going to talk about Title IX that much. I am going to talk about the importance of sport for women and what a difference it has made in the lives of girls. At the junior high and high school level in particular, we're talking about this being the best antidote to a society that is now facing extraordinary levels of obesity and diabetes. Kids who play sports are less likely to be incarcerated. They're less likely to engage in criminal activity. They're less likely to get pregnant. There's all kinds of good things that happen when extracurricular activities are supported and kids are involved in positive things during those dangerous after-school hours before they can get their parents can get home from work. I want to talk a little bit about that. I want to talk about how important it is to women in terms of success in business. We know that over 90% of the female executives at Fortune 500 companies self-identify as having played sports. It's where they've learned how to compete. It's where they've learned how to relate to what is predominantly a male business environment. And being able to play team, being able to exist in a corporation that really is run like a sports team, this is a valuable lesson that sports teaches women. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, too.
If you could look into a crystal ball, if you had one, where would you see the opportunities for women in maybe 10 years, maybe one or two things that you would really hang your hat on and really want to change?
Well, the thing you always have to remember is it takes three generations. It takes 60 years to accomplish significant social change. And that's what Title IX has been all about. So this 40-year period, although it seems so long to us, still isn't close to what we have a right to expect. And the reason why it takes so long is because the people who are in decision-making positions, the athletic directors who are making choices about money, grew up in a day and age where they didn't respect the abilities of women playing sports. They didn't respect Title IX. You almost have to wait until the first generation of boys and girls who played together, played sports, respected each other. They grow up and they become the athletic directors. They start making the decisions. And then the world looks very, very different. So we're probably, you said 10 years. I say we're probably 20 years away from that look when, we can look at every school and college in the country and say, our sons and daughters are treated exactly the same.
My guest is Donna Lopiano, president of Sports Management Resources, a consulting firm specializing in issues of integrity in college sports. Also a pioneer and champion of Title IX, she'll be speaking in Davenport tomorrow. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks, Alex.
Coming up, we'll continue our conversation about women in high school and college sports. I'll be joined by Callie Sanders, Senior Associate Athletics Director at Iowa State University, and Craig Enan, the Associate Director of the Iowa Girls High School Athletic Union. We'll also take your calls. Call us at 1-866-780-9100 or send us an email at theexchange@iowapublicradio.org. We're back after this break. Welcome back to The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. Sitting in for Ben Kiefer, I'm Alex Hoyer. Today's show is about Title IX and opportunities for women in high school and college sports. I'm joined now by Callie Sanders, the Senior Associate Athletics Director at Iowa State University. She joins us from our studios in Ames. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Alex. Pleasure to be here.
I'm also joined by Craig Enan, the Associate Director of the Iowa Girls High School Athletic Union. He joins us from our studios in Des Moines. Welcome to you.
Thanks, Alex.
Great. We'd also like to welcome listeners to the conversation. What do you think about the current status of opportunities for women in sports in Iowa's high schools and colleges? Give us a call at 1-866-780-9100. That's 866-780-9100. Or send us an email at theexchange@iowapublicradio.org. Let's start with you, Craig. How would you generally characterize the opportunities for high school girls in athletic programs in the state of Iowa?
Well, I think I'd like to look at a historical preference here, too, a little bit, is that, you know, in Iowa, we're really fortunate for all young people because we have four activity associations. We're the only state in the United States that has that. We have an activities association for young men, one for young ladies, one for the speech and theater area, and one for the music area. And we feel this really benefits our young people in the state of Iowa. In particular, I just came from a board meeting for the Iowa Girls High School Athletic Union. And in that board meeting, every item that they were speaking about dealt with girls' athletics. It wasn't a board that dealt with the boys' athletics first and then maybe music or then something. Their whole meeting dealt with how they can make the girls' athletic area for our Iowa girls in high school even better. And I think that's a really unique perspective, and that before Title IX, Iowa had girls' athletics. Dr. Ewing Cooley was a pioneer. In fact, when they were talking about Title IX 40 years ago, Dr. Cooley was brought to Washington to say, this is how it works in Iowa, and this is why it benefits our young female athletes so well. In fact, for years, the Iowa High School girls basketball tournament outdrew the boys tournament for years and years and years because there was such a preference and excitement for the young woman athlete in the state of Iowa. So, you know, I'm going back a little historical on this, but I still think this is a real important point to make, is that Iowa has always seen the importance of young women participating in athletics.
So when Title IX passed about 40 years ago, people in Iowa were saying, so what? It's already happening here.
In a lot of our schools, yes. Now, some schools didn't have girls' athletics, and then the Title IX did force those schools to, you know, go into it. But we had a lot of young ladies participating in athletics before Title IX even existed. And that is really an exciting thing about Iowa.
Sure. Now let's turn to you, Callie Sanders, at Iowa State University. There's a lot of talk about Title IX and what needs to be done to be in compliance. Give us some background as to what Iowa State does to ensure that it's in compliance.
Sure. Well, one of the primary measures is your participation. We want to make sure that young girls and women have the same opportunity to participate as their male counterparts. So the common measuring stick is to look at the ratio of men to women in your student body and then make sure that you are providing the same opportunities for that same ratio for your men and women athletes. So, for example, at Iowa State, our student body population is roughly 56% men, 44% women, and so we would want to model our student athlete opportunities accordingly. Right now, our participation for female student athlete is just over 45%, so we actually exceed the target rate for participation.
Mm-hmm. And highlight what some of the major sports there are for women. Obviously, you have the basketball and the volleyball. What are some other ones?
We have 11 women's sports. We have a lot of the traditional sports, basketball, softball. We have swimming, gymnastics, soccer, tennis, golf, cross country, and indoor and outdoor track for women. So volleyball also. Start listing, I might forget somebody.
Right, right. Back to you, Craig. What about ensuring compliance of Title IX in high schools? You have the Girls Athletic Union, but what specifically happens there on the high school level?
Well, you know, we want to make sure that young ladies have the same opportunities as young men to participate in great athletic opportunities. And whether that is that they, you know, one thing that we have done, I think that's really exciting, is that we have a co-ed state track meet. We have a co-ed state tennis meet, co-ed golf. We have co-ed cross-country meet where both the male and the female athlete come together and celebrate the successes of their athletic endeavors. We are in the same facility as the boys are for the state basketball tournament. We provide a top-notch facility for our state volleyball tournament in Cedar Rapids. Harlan Rogers Park and what they provide for us at softball is just a marvelous facility. And so our board of directors, one of their major goals is to make sure that every opportunity that we can provide for a young woman to participate in athletics is top-notch, from facilities to the running of that program to just making sure that it is an educational positive experience.
Can you highlight a particular area in Iowa where maybe Title IX compliance could be a little bit better?
Well, maybe there is. I look at all the sports and we're equal. The boys just added one more sport this year, but they have wrestling, and our young ladies can participate on the wrestling team if they choose to do so. And that's a unique thing about Iowa, too, is that if we do not have that female sport in that school for a variety of reasons, maybe they don't have enough participation or whatever, the Boys Athletic Union allows them to participate on a boys' team with them, which is a really, I think, a wonderful opportunity that a lot of states don't have. Another important point I'd like to make, too, about, is that we are completely funded by the ticket revenue. We receive no state funding, the Iowa Girls High School Athletic Union, whatsoever. All of our funding to provide athletic opportunities for our young people is funded through our ticket sales or through generous donations of our sponsors.
We have a call from Helen in Ames. Welcome to the program, Helen. You're on the air.
Hi. I don't want to cover too many things at once. I do have a question. One observation. You did say that Iowa was really progressive in sports, and this 6-on-6 basketball, part of that leaned toward having really high scorers because only three girls could score. There were only three forwards. And it was set up as sort of a thing that would create excitement and, draw hometowns, fans to that. And there were other states that moved away from 6-on-6 much earlier. And I think that, Iowa has been progressive in some respects, and that was really not progressive. I really wish your guest would use parallel language for female and male students and not say young ladies and young men, but would say young men and young women. My question has to do with, Iowa State women's basketball, and there was a concern a few years ago about the fact that the scout team was comprised a lot, if not all, of men athletes or men students. And it seems to me that women should practice against women's students. I know I've seen Bill Fenley explain why they do what they do and how the scout team is chosen.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we have your point. Let's take that to Callie. What about men participating in women's sports practice?
Well, your caller's correct. We do have a number of male students that practice against our women. They join the reserves, so it's a combination of men and women. But the idea is to make your female student athletes better. And by having them compete against men who are bigger and stronger, it better prepares them for the competition that we see in the Big 12. So the underlying reason is to make our women's sports stronger. And Coach Finley's belief, and I happen to agree, is that one way to advance your women is to give them as tough a competition as you can give them.
Mm. Thank you for the call, Helen. We heard in the first half of the show about sand volleyball being created in the NCAA. What is Iowa State's stance on its creation or its possibility at Iowa State?
Well, we've been fairly vocal advocates against the addition of sand volleyball, and certainly not because we don't believe in additional participation for women. I don't believe that every any new sport is good for women. I think sand volleyball has the potential to be detrimental to our indoor game. We've spent a lot of years, a lot of resources building that game. I would hate for it to affect the parity that we're now enjoying in indoor volleyball. For example, USC, you mentioned, is going to add it. I think the coastal universities will benefit more strongly than those of us in the Midwest. I also believe that it has the potential for year-round training, and to us that's a negative impact on student-athlete well-being. I think there's potential for NCAA rules abuse by faking a sand program to get your indoor players more training, and we support new meaningful opportunities for women. The fact that the smaller schools voted for sand volleyball, the bigger schools with more resources voted against sand volleyball, tells you that there's a perception that it's a low-cost way to add opportunities for women that aren't real, and we're opposed to that.
Are there any changes to the current proposals? And I know that the current proposals are also up in the air, but can you think of anything that would make the idea of adding sand volleyball more acceptable there, maybe a change?
There's some talk about trying to add it but not allow student athletes to participate in both, although I think there's some potential problems with not allowing a student athlete to pursue a sport. So I think there's a lot yet to work through. Probably the most reasonable proposal would somehow have sand volleyball be at the same time of year as indoor volleyball, so logistically it would prevent them from participating in both. But there's a lot of ideas being batted around, nothing real concrete yet.
Sure. Back to the high school level. Craig, you were talking about how Iowa is doing well at following Title IX and ensuring that young women are given opportunities to participate. But with declining enrollments, how does that at all impact compliance with Title IX or, in more generally, opportunities for young women?
Well, declining enrollments in Iowa is a very huge problem in many areas, not only in the athletic area, but in the academic area also. The thing that we encourage our young people and our schools, or I should say our schools, we encourage them to do is, you know, to treat both the boys and, the young men and the young ladies alike. And, you know, when schools make decisions in combining districts and different things like that, it's important for the schools to look at all aspects of their total educational program and athletic program. And the school districts in Iowa are very good about putting forth what is right for the student, and they look at all opportunities for young people. I think it's important to realize that, you know, Iowa is very much a local control state, and our local school boards make a lot of those decisions.
So does that also hold true for rural schools? Because I imagine that it might be tougher to get participation numbers up in a rural school district.
Well, and one of the neat things that that's happened in Iowa for our young people is that we allow school districts to share programs. So, for example, a school district has low numbers in, let's say, boys basketball. They can go into what's called a co-op sharing, and then two contiguous districts can share a basketball program that year to get through that. Or they could, let's say, one district has a girl swimming one year and they don't have enough young athletes come out the next year, then those young athletes that are still at that school could go into a sharing program with another school district, and then when enough young females come back out for the sport, the school can start the program back up again. So, you know, Iowa's looking out for the opportunities for young people in a lot of ways.
We have an email from Jeffrey. He writes, many boys or men's sports have been cut at schools around the country so that girls' programs could be added, especially wrestling. Oftentimes the programs that have been abandoned is in the name of Title IX. They were well supported and replaced with programs that had little interest from the student body. He writes, as much as Title IX has helped girls' sports, it has hurt boys as well. Could I have you comment on that, Callie? Has Iowa State opted out of some men's sports in favor of creating more opportunity for women in women's sports?
Well, I think Title IX has kind of been blamed for some of the changes in sports sponsorship when truly I think it's a revenue and expense issue. Obviously, schools try to maintain compliance with Title IX, and in order to do that, you have to have the participation ratios, as I referred to earlier. But when decisions are made about sports sponsorship, I mean, you have to consider a lot of factors, and oftentimes sports are cut in the name of the economy, not necessarily because of Title IX. So I think girls and women have taken the fall in a lot of cases when truly it's just about revenue and expenses.
And that's another issue to talk about is the economy. How is the troubled economy, the bad economy now, affecting opportunities for women, maybe on the administrative level at colleges?
Well, I can just speak for Iowa State directly. You know, we're doing everything we can to preserve our current programs, to keep our current programs strong. We don't have any plans to make any change in our sports sponsorship. We feel very strongly that the reason we're here is to provide those opportunities. So we're going to continue to try to do that. I do think nationwide there have been some changes, dropping of men's and women's sports across the board as people try to deal with their economic difficulties. But so far, you know, we certainly plan to continue to do what we're doing and try to make our current sports as strong as we can.
So you said keeping current sports as strong as you can. Any plans to add a sport in the future, a sport for women?
We don't have any plans right now. You know, we keep an eye on the student body ratio to make sure that we're in compliance, and we are. We don't need to add anything for Title IX purposes, but we pay attention to the landscape, and if there's a new women's sports that's on the horizon that we feel would benefit our student body or that is really growing at the high school level where we feel we need to be ready to have it, then we'll address that when the time comes.
In the first half of the show, we had Donna Lopiano on talking about Title IX. She says it's working, but yet it's not working, and that even after 40 years, that women still don't have the same opportunity as men do to participate in sports. So I'll ask the same question that I asked her. Looking maybe 10 years down the future, where would you hope that there would be some change, or would it perhaps just be that continuous monitoring that's going on?
Well, I have tremendous respect for Donna. She's done a lot to advance women, and I think she's right in many ways that that we have a lot of progress yet to do. But I think we're further along than sometimes people think. Our athletic director and president are very proactive, very committed to Title IX. Donna, you know, generalized that's not necessarily the case. It certainly is here. A lot of new young athletic directors who have daughters who want to see them have the same opportunity as their sons. I think we've made tremendous progress. And like anything, we can continue to grow. And I would certainly hope that in 10 years, we don't have to be having this conversation because it's not an issue.
What do you think about that, Craig? At the high school level, where would you maybe like to see opportunities for young women at the high school level in about 10 years?
Yeah, I agree with what these ladies have both said. You know, I think the most important thing is that in Iowa, we keep focused on the opportunities for young people in all of our areas and make our schools the best places for our young people to go to school, to have these great extracurricular opportunities, whether they're music or speech or, you know, boys athletics, girls athletics. Those all need to be to the forefront. And I think the most important thing is that as community members, we need to support all these young people and their endeavors. And sometimes one of our biggest problems and one of our biggest concerns is the support that we get from our community and how we continue to ask our people to support our young people in their endeavors. And that includes the young ladies who participate in activities as well as the young men. And we just need to go further with that. Let's continue to support these people in a positive and a way to make things better for everyone.
How do we do that support? What's something that our listener could do to support continued opportunities for women?
Well, one of the most important things is pack the stands. Get there and support the young ladies. You know, Iowa State, you know, they do such a wonderful job of packing the stands for women's basketball. And we want the same thing for ladies and our girls high school athletic union events. We would love to see just packed crowds. And we want that for the boys area, too. We want people to realize that they're putting out an incredible product, these young people. And the more that we can support them, us being there and a positive reaction, the better it is for everyone.
All right. My guests have been Callie Sanders, the Senior Associate Athletics Director at Iowa State University, and Craig Enan, the Associate Director of the Iowa Girls High School Athletic Union. Thanks to both of you for joining me today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. The Exchange is produced by Catherine Perkins and Jeff Schmidt. Our producer assistant today was Christina Sarnelli. Technical support comes from Dennis Reese. The Exchange is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Alex Hoyer. Thanks for joining us.
She's looking at you. You get lost within her eyes. She has hypnotized you, paralyzed you. She's always on your mind. You can never break free. Go back to where you were before. She has taken over with her powers. She hits you like a storm. When you think you're in control, when you got it all, that's when you're lost. But you gotta have her in. See how bad you